You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel in the studio. We've got a mixture of jumps and all-weather racing on Thursday, national action at Stratford and Clonmel, all-weather racing at Lingfield, Kempton and Chelmsford City. So a good mix. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Andy Gibson. How are you, Andy?
I'm very good, Mark. Are you enjoying yourself?
I am, yes. It's a great time of year, isn't it? The Charlie Hall for me is when you know that the jump season has kicked in proper. And the meeting at Weatherby this Saturday looks very good.
It does. It looks really interesting. And it's always been my starting point of the year, the Charlie Hall, until, so I suppose, recent years you've had the old roans taken more prominence, I beg your pardon. And this year, the Chepstow meeting was actually an awful lot better than it has been in previous years. And I think that's just because we've had a lot more rain lately. And so some of the horses are more forward. But nevertheless, it's still the first big national hunt meeting to really look forward to for me.
We're going to take a look at a couple of the big races on the card on Saturday. The first of them is the 3/5, which is the race that was registered as the West Yorkshire Hurdle. A Grade 2 contest over 3 miles. At the time of recording this, Ballyandy the favourite at 15-8. It's 9-4 for You Know What I Mean, Harry. The World's End is 100-30. 13-2, Le Broy, I can never say that one. 8-1 for Eyewright, 10s for Lord Napier and 2 Tafts, and 25-1 for Tees Components Lad. Great race this, really, because Ballyandy has been pretty useful over hurdles and tried a bit of chasing as well recently, and You Know What I Mean, Harry, one of the top staying hurdlers around, and they could potentially meet. Obviously this is before the final declarations, but if they do show up together with the likes of the World's End in there as well, it's a good race.
It's okay. It's I think the at this stage, we're doing this on, what is this? It's Wednesday today, so we're 4 days away. So at this early stage, what I would tend to do with races like this is just try and, gain some sort of overview and maybe have one. If I've got a strong opinion on the race, and I've got one strong opinion on this race, and that is that Ballyandy at 15-8 for a horse stepping up from 2.5 miles to 3 on very soft ground is an incredibly short price favourite.
Yeah,
and I think I'd be very wary of that one. I'm hoping to find a bet in the race. I certainly wouldn't be put off You Know What I Mean, Harry. If I was the owner of You Know What I Mean, Harry, which obviously I'm not because Mr. JP is, I'd be thinking, he's an 11-year-old, he's coming into this season, we'd love it if we could get another win out of him. He quite often needs his first run, but if I was owning this horse, I'd be thinking, you know what, we need to get him ready first time out to try and get a win into him, because the West Yorkshire race is probably our best chance of getting a success from him this season. He might turn out to win another couple, but in terms of, he's an 11-year-old. He didn't he was very in and out last season and suddenly came good in that last race at Punchestown, which was an incredible victory. But he was also, he didn't, he looked well below his best in 2 races, including at the Cheltenham, the Cleve Hurdle meeting, and also at Aintree. I'd have him ready for Saturday. I don't know if they have. I'll be reading some of the notes very carefully, some of the interviews. Harry Fry's just finding a little bit of form. And one or two of the other trainers that are in this race, i.e. Ben Pauling, Tom George, they've been a little bit slow getting going. So I think Ballyandy is one I want to get, and I'm just not sure what with yet. I'd be surprised if Ballyandy won. I'd hope I'd find something to beat him.
Okay, it would be good to see, Harry returning winning form, multiple grade one winner, including that grade one hurdle contest at Punchestown back in the last season when he sprung a surprise really at 16-1, because as you mentioned he was out of form at Aintree the time before that. So hopefully he can start the season on a better note, if you're backing him anyway. Hopefully he can. But that looks a good race. The Charlie Hall is always a good race. Grade 2 over 3 miles. Le Bagawar, the favourite at the time of recording this, at 11-4. Elegant Escape 4-1. 5-1 for Black Corton. Definitely Red 5-1, the defending champion, if you like. 6-1 for Bally Optic. Top V Ben is 13-2. 7-1 for Acer. And 11-1 on bigger prices for the remainder. Pretty much top four or five in the betting there could be real good staying chasers to watch throughout the season, not just on Saturday.
Yeah, and my feeling with Le Bagarre is that Warren, I would imagine, would prefer the ground not to be so soft for her seasonal debut. She's had, you know, one or two occasions in the past look like she's been better on good to soft and good ground than she has on soft.
Yeah.
It would make me a little bit wary. We've had a number of circumstances lately where you've found, because of the soft ground, horses that have run recently and had race fitness, it's been a much bigger advantage than normal. I really like Le Bagarre, and I think she's going to win one or two really decent races this season. And whether I back in the race or not, I'm not sure, but I won't be backing her at round about 5-2, 11-4.
Anything at bigger odds that has caught your eye so far then?
Yeah, there's interesting ones, but again, it's just an overview at the moment. I mean,
yeah.
Bally Optic beat Little Rockefeller last time out. I don't think that's very good form, because I still think we're going to, if Little Rockefeller picks up plenty of prize money, I think it's still more likely to be back over hurdles at some point this season. But Bally Optic will love soft ground and is in very good form. The fences at Weatherby tend to be very big, and although he jumped extremely well last time out at Chepstow, you'd have to have some concerns based on past evidence, but he'd still have to be on the shortlist because of race fitness. I think Elegant Escape will light the ground, but has looked incredibly one-paced in his races, so I'd be wary of him. Black Corton was second in this race last year, I think. I'm speaking from memory, so excuse me if I'm wrong there. To Definitely Red last year when he made a horrendous mistake. They would be of interest, Definitely Red and Black Corton. And the other one that I thought worth mentioning was Aso, the Venetia Williams horse. I don't know what price that is at the moment. 7-1, yeah. I mean, that, you know, it's just interesting with that one stepping up in trip. It stepped up in trip before. It ran at Aintree in April of 2017 and just didn't look like he got home on the day. First time out, soft ground, stepping up in trip, you'd want a stayer. Bally Optic's going to make this a real test. He led all the way last time out at Chepstow, or led most of the way at Chepstow. He's going to make it a real test again, and whoever wins this race is going to have to really stay. So I think at the moment, although I think Bally Optic is flattered by his mark, I think his race fitness is a massive advantage here. So he would be mildly interesting. And the other one that is definitely interesting, definitely, excuse the pun, is Definitely Red. Ellison's in fantastic form. The horse has a good record. He won last time. The last time he ran round this course and this... Sorry, I beg your pardon. I'm going to Aintree there. The last time he ran round Weatherby, he won, obviously, this race last year. He then went on to win on soft ground at Aintree, which is really important, mm-hmm. with Saturday in mind. I think he's possibly another one, like Le Bagarre, that's slightly better on slightly less testing ground. But I think that's debatable. You know, I know Brian Ellison has said that a few times. So I think they would be the two for me. Definitely Red and Bally Optic at the moment. They're the two that I'd be looking at.
Okay, 5-1 for Definitely Red, 6-1 Bally Optic at the time of recording this. And obviously we've got that to look forward to at the weekend. The picture will become potentially a little bit clearer as we head towards the back end of the week. We do have racing where we have the final declarations, of course. That is the action coming up on Thursday. We've got a couple of races at Stratford picked out by Andy, the first of which is the 145, a maiden hurdle over 2¾ miles. And we've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this. So what do you reckon? Decent each way shape to it, or you got a win only bet in mind?
Probably each way. I've been following the Paul Nichols yard very closely, and a lot of their horses have needed the run, more so than usual.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that Chance Finale will be right up there in the betting, if not favourite. And I'm hoping that it will need the run. Now, the fly in that ointment is that we're now, you know, by then we're going to be in November, and a lot of his runners that were needing the run was mid-October. So we will come to a point where those horses running have been, you know, working that little bit longer at home and will be that little bit more ready. But I've done well on that, working both ways, backing horses from Nichols running on their second start and also opposing them on their first start. So I'll stick with that for now. It's not a confident selection for a next best. The Nap is a much more confident selection. But I'm going with Winter Getaway, the Philip Hobbs horse. She was third to Baddersley of Chris Gordon in a bumper race on the 5th of October. So she's race fit. It is a hurdles debut, but that applies to many of them in this race, if not all. And I just thought that at this stage of the season, race fitness is probably important. She'll probably be in each way price because of the presence of the Nichols horse. So I'd say small stakes each way. You know, when you do a Nap and next best, sometimes you think, you know what, I couldn't decide between them, which is the Nap. Well, in this case, Winter Getaway is very much a next best because I can't find anything else, whereas the Nap I'm very keen on.
So Winter Getaway, the selection there in the 145. Very keen on the Nap, which comes up in the 220 at Stratford. This is a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got just the 5 of them taking part, but a pretty good 5. Well, certainly 2 of them are very good. Liz Nagaroska and Black Op, I imagine, will be dominating the market here. Do you see it between that pair?
No, not really. No, I see it between Liz Nagaroska and Jumping the Fences. I'd be keen to be against Black Op. He hasn't looked like a chaser yet. Liz Nagaroska was really good at Chepstow. I think that was a perfect chasing debut, apart from not having the one next to his name afterwards. That might prove beneficial tomorrow, running without a penalty. He should have won that race. He put down a little bit at the last, got in close to the last, lost momentum, and on the short run in there just got pipped by Ardleithan. But he was the best horse in the race throughout. Truckers Lodge came out and won yesterday very convincingly. I wouldn't be sort of saying, look at that, he's beaten Truckers Lodge by 30 lengths and that one's then, because that's another one of the Nichols horses that improved dramatically from first run to second. But nevertheless, it's still, you know, it's still worth mentioning. But Liz Nagaroska was really good over his fences, and Black Op so far has been less than convincing. So I'm hoping that the presence of the £6 higher rated Black Op will ensure that Liz Nagaroska goes off odds against, and I'd have him as the odds on favourite. So for that reason, he's the Nap, and I'd be really disappointed if he didn't win tomorrow.
Disappointed if Liz Nagaroska doesn't win on Thursday, then that is the Nap, and a strong selection, a strong Nap from Andy Gibson. Well, thank you very much, been a pleasure. Best of luck and enjoy the action on Thursday.
Lovely, nice to see you.
There you go, the thoughts of Andy Gibson on Thursday's racing. You can hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. It's Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel in the studio for Stratford, Lingfield and Clonmel in the afternoon, Kempton and Chelmsford in the evening. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.